In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord Jesus says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. Finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits with it, more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the person is worse than the first. Since this is true, let us pray. Lord, be our light when worldly darkness veils us. Lord, be our shield when earthly armor fails us. And in the day when hell itself assails us, grant us your peace, Lord. Be seated. You are not so different than the demon-possessed man in this gospel lesson. Since his name is not recorded, let's give him a name. Adam Jr. He is, after all, a son of the first Adam, as are you. He begins this lesson under the power of a demon. And before your baptism, you were under the power of the devil, as Scripture teaches and the baptism rite declares. His demon bound his tongue so that he could not ask for help, beg for mercy, or choose Jesus as his personal Savior. And for as many of you as were baptized as infants, you were not able to speak either. But that did not stop the Lord Jesus from showing you mercy. St. Matthew adds that this man's demon also left him blind. So, physical darkness to accompany his spiritual state. And before your baptism, you too were a blind, dead enemy of God. So you begin this lesson in the same position as Adam Jr. By no work, merit, or credit of his own or your own, Christ grants healing, deliverance to a sinful human being. He rescues from death and the devil. And no sooner does Jesus rescue this man from his demon than all hell breaks out against this poor man. The same happens to you in your baptism, by the way. You were under the power of the devil. Christ claims you as his own, and that means that we are burdening the child with a mighty and lifelong enemy, a foe who does not wait until they are older and fully armored to begin his devilish assault on their faith. And he attacks on many fronts. For Adam Jr., just think how distressed he must have been by the blasphemy of the Jews around him. Here, a demon has just been cast out of him. He can finally speak after countless hours of isolating silence. He can finally see again after an endless night of darkness. He is ready to shout and sing our intro at Psalm. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he has and will pluck my feet out of the net of loneliness and affliction, the net of shame and despair and distress. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me from all my sin. This is what Adam Jr.'s new man wants to sing. But he is being shouted out. The crowd is saying that Jesus is not God in the flesh, that he is not a mighty deliverer. Within the very earshot of the previously demon-possessed man, these Jews attribute the work of God to Beelzebul, the prince of all the demons. They look Adam Jr. in the face and say, "Your Jesus is actually Satan." So this poor man's faith is under assault from the very people who should be rejoicing with him. His whole world is being flipped on its head. He has just been set free, and everyone around him says, "This is not good. This is wicked and evil and satanic. This is not the work and finger of God. This is devilish stuff." Their worldly darkness seeks to veil the glimmer of light that this man had finally been shown. Dear Christians, whether you realize it or not, you are under just as much of an assault as this man was. Do not think that you will be exempt from the devil's traps and attacks. The world throws countless snares in your way to make you stumble. Your own sinful flesh constantly lusts and runs after the very darkness that you were sundered from in your baptism. And the devil himself will hurl the host of hell against you with doubt, despair, and endless temptation. So if your eyes are not ever towards the Lord to pluck your feet out of these various nets, my friends, your earthly armor will fail you. Just think of how many other Christian churches say essentially the same thing as the blasphemous Jews say here. Those Jews took the work of God in Jesus Christ and called it evil, not good, from the devil. Is the rejection of infant baptism and the denial of baptismal regeneration any less blasphemous? We say that the word of God with the water rescues me from the devil. And they say, no, it doesn't. We say this is a work of God, forgiving sin, destroying doubt. And they say, no, it's not God's work. It's leftover Roman Catholicism in you Lutherans, and you should not only doubt it, but you must be re-baptized by obeying our ordinances. They are doing what the Jews did here to poor Adam Jr., denying the mercy of God to a poor sinful being. Let us all, Adam Jr. in the gospel, you and me in church today, pray with our intro at Psalm, "Let not my enemies exult over me." And then let us turn our eyes ever to the Lord, who delivers us from our enemies and all evil. See how Jesus rises up to defend this healed man. He is not fighting them back in a war of words to defend his own honor, but to comfort and strengthen the poor man whose faith and healing is now called into question. The Lord fights to protect his children. And Jesus starts with weapons of theology. If Satan is divided against himself, how could his kingdom stand? Theology. He then moves on to a common sense rebuke. If I do this by the devil's power, what power are your sons using to drive out demons? You foolish Jews, your own sons testify against your blasphemy. Next, your Lord defends this redeemed man with a declaration of the gospel. As dear baptized children of God, hear these words of Jesus as spoken to you as well. If it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He begins this declaration with the word "if," but there is no question about it. The exorcism is worked out by the finger and spirit of God through his word. There is no doubt. So Adam Jr. can rejoice. Not only is it a good work after all, and a work of God at that, but it means The very kingdom of God has come upon him, overpowering Satan's kingdom that previously held him blind and mute. Oh, my baptized brothers and sisters in Christ, if this baptism is worked by the finger of God, as his word and spirit declares, then the kingdom of God has come upon you, and you are his children. Next, Jesus uses the weapon of a parable to strengthen Adam Jr. and all redeemed children of God. Is the devil a strong man, a mighty foe? Absolutely. Is he fully armored with deceitfulness, lies, and temptation to sin? Certainly. But one stronger than the strong man has come. Jesus attacks the strong man in his incarnation. He overcomes him in the wilderness temptations that we witnessed two Sundays ago. And now, as your Lord goes to his crucifixion, he strips the devil of his armor, his might, all the sin and death that the devil trusted in. The weakness, the suffering, the death of your Lord Jesus is his strength to overcome your foe. The captor who kept you in his satanic net with all the affliction, distress, sorrow, and the despair that goes with it, all undone. In Easter joy, the risen Lord appears to his disciples to divide up his spoils, that which he took from the strong man's house. Your Lord declares, "Here, dear church of mine, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. O you who are with me, whom I am with till the very end of the age, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In that way, gather for me the spoils that we claim from Satan's kingdom, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." The new obedience is where Jesus continues in verse 24 of our lesson. The new obedience that true faith is bound to produce, resisting temptation and doing good to one's neighbor. So in this way, Jesus warns Adam Jr. and all of you who have been rescued from the devil. He gives a clear and somber warning not to prepare your hearts for seven more demons on top of it. In other words, Jesus says, when a demon is cast out, don't start decorating your house like a frat house preparing for a kegger. St. Paul says, be imitators of God, not of the sinful culture around us. You were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. So Adam Jr. and all baptized children of God, hear from Jesus' own lips that we are not given this grace as a license to sin more, to return to darkness, to adorn our hearts for demons of sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthiness, and foolish talk. We were shown this grace because Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so our eyes of faith look to Christ upon the cross as our deliverer from all evil, even the evil that we secretly, sinfully want to cling to in our sinful hearts. No, he delivers us from that evil as well. He even works in us by the power of his Holy Spirit to resist temptation. Now, will you still have temptations to sin? Yes, they will rage on in your sinful heart. Will your souls be deeply troubled by the ever ongoing guilt of your continuous failure to resist temptation. Yes, if you have faith, your souls will feel that trouble. Yet even amid all this distress, the Lord is your only Redeemer, the Deliverer from all evil. So your eyes of faith will look to Him alone, and lips that are loosed from Satan will pray again, "Grant us your peace, Lord." Peace in our hearts, where sinful thoughts are raging. Peace in your church, our troubled souls assuaging. Peace when the world its endless war is waging. Peace in your heaven. Amen. Let us stand.